Welcome to the This Month in Forensics podcast for May 2019. I'm Phil Moore, and here's a few things from the last month that I wanted to talk about. Of course, this isn't everything. The industry puts out a massive amount of content every week, so for everything that I can find, you can head over to thisweekinforensics.com. A quick shout out again to Ladrina for her contributions this month, as well as all of those that have donated via Patreon. Thanks a lot. Another reminder that the Forecast Awards voting is open. Last podcast we're talking about the nominations, and thankfully this podcast as well, but the blog and myself have been nominated for some Forensic Forecast Awards, which is very, very much appreciated. The award ceremony will be held at the SANS DFIR Summit at the end of July, and SANS have actually announced a competition to design a pair of DFIR-related vans for the chance to get a free ticket. So you can head on to the link that I'll post in the show notes, which will be a cool thing to do if you get your vans up there and everyone's wearing them, which is, if you're interested in that, go and head over and submit a design. And on to the show. Sandor Tocchesi at Forensics Exchange shares his testing on the effects of user actions on file system timestamps and has found some minorly differing results to similar testing by SANS and Cyber Forensicator. There is a minor caveat at the end that's worth noting, that the Cyber Forensicator guys tested Office documents, which Windows treats slightly differently to other files, and for the most part it does keep in line with the what is on the SANS red poster. There's a couple of minor differences with, I think it was access times and entry modified times, where things are and aren't updated, so that's interesting, go check that out. Mike Williamson demonstrated how to use his gkzip-lib module, which is a C-sharp module that he uses to unpack the GK, I guess, stands for gray key dumps, and in this instance he was using it to quickly export the power log files from an iOS full file system extraction. I haven't had a play with the library, but Mike says it's very quick for getting at those files that you might want to parse manually. A number of the files in iOS full file system extractions have Python scripts, such as Sarah's Apollo library, that will allow you to parse this data out, but you need to get access to that data as quickly as possible. If you're relying on vendor tools, sometimes they don't necessarily keep up, and PowerLog I don't think anyone currently supports, so that's a good example. Mike also gives us an overview of the concept behind his Forensic Blend program, which I think is going to incorporate this gkzip-lib module, and it looks really interesting. It's something to keep an eye on. Mike will basically, this program will allow people to parse a lot of these databases with plugins, and he wants a community-based plugin architecture. So it's, yeah, something to keep an eye on. Mike also interviewed Shafiq Punja about his work about the photos.sqlite database that's found on iOS. I don't really know much about this database, but it does seem like it would be useful, especially because it isn't specifically parsed out by vendor tools, and it's got I think it was something like 70 different tables and a whole bunch of information that might be very useful if you have to investigate photos on an iPhone. Teru Yamazaki at Forensicist demonstrates a method of using Eric's EVTXECMD, there are a lot of letters in that, to parse a carved event log records. So Terry uses a combination of the bulk extractor with record carving enhancement, I guess, that he's previously shared out, along with Eric's event log parser to handle deleted records. And with a little bit of command line magic, this process could also be automated, which is really cool, because you're able to take out your event logs with something like CAPE, then process them with bulk extractor, and then parse them with event log explorer command line, which currently there is a module to do, just not the little bit in the middle, which is getting all your carved records out, because Eric's tool doesn't currently deal with carved records. So this is a really good stopgap measure that is worth looking at. Black Bag Technologies released updates to Black Bag and Macquisition, and the main reason I'm mentioning this is because their Macquisition update added the ability to image drives with T2 chips, which they've been talking about for a little while. And they've also incorporated their imaging to AFF4 under some circumstances. It's not necessarily for every imaging job. I think it might just be when it's got a T2 chip. I haven't really explored it a lot. But AFF4 does come with some additional speed improvements over other methods, so that's going to be nice. And I think Blacklight will also be able to ingest this. I'm not sure if they'll be able to ingest all AFF4 images. That's yet to be seen in any testing. I haven't done any. But it's good. It's always good to see AFF4 kind of picking up a bit of steam. And speaking of which, Michael Cohen has created a new site to point people to for getting the latest PMEM imager tools. So WinPMEM, OSXPMEM, LinPMEM. Because I was finding a lot of people were going to the wrong websites. This was previously owned by Google, and so Google has on the GitHub page up to a specific version, and then you have to go over to another website to find the more recently updated versions that Michael's maintaining. So because of this confusion, I asked him, could he create its own website that we could point people to? So go there, winpmem.velocidex.com to get the latest versions of these tools. There's a new blog created during the month, Forensics Files, and the author documented a process of obtaining a full file system image from an iOS 12 device without commercial tools. Previously, you were left with using the not necessarily easily obtained methods of jailbreaking and acquiring a full file system extraction. I say not easily obtained, but basically you have to pay for them, and that really limits some people's ability to test what we can find in that. So if you're comfortable with jailbreaking and you have authority to do so, you can follow the steps listed and then manually pull as much data as you can off it, and you will get a wealth of more information than you will if you relied just on a backup. And lastly, Mattia Epifani, Heather Mihalik, and Cheeky Forensics Monkey wrote a very extensive paper and shared some scripts to parse sys-diagnosed data from iOS 12 devices. It's a really comprehensive bit of research that covers a variety of logs that are created automatically by the operating system or generated by user action. And I think in some instances you have to load a profile onto the device and you can get additional data out. It's really interesting. I think it's 74, 75 pages of writing, so worth a read. And the group has also put out a call at the end of the paper looking for more testers for both the methodologies to make sure that what they're saying stands up, and also that the parsers that they've been written have obviously been tested on the data sets that they've been able to generate, but more data sets means more likelihood of hitting those edge cases, and obviously they will appreciate if anyone's able to do additional testing, and you can reach out to them directly. And that's all for the month. Of course, this isn't everything. For everything that I've found, as well as Ladrina as well, of course, you can head over to thisweekinforensics.com. For the Patreon people, thanks a lot. I really appreciate it. For those that don't know, if you get a bit of value out of the work that I do and you want to give a little bit of value back, the links are in the post at the top of the page. The Patreon supporters do get the links that have been mentioned in the show, as well as the time codes to make it a bit easier for looking things up. If you are a PayPal donator and you want any of these links, just shoot me an email and I'll sort that out for you. But it's all very much appreciated. If you've got any suggestions or recommendations, you can let me know on Twitter. I'm at Phil Moore. And a special thanks to my friend Jeff, who's Animatic, on SoundCloud for letting me use his tracks. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you next month.